Right now we're going into our home management hour, and our guest, she's a very vivacious person. She just sounds so cheerful and thing. Her name is Irma Pica, and she's from the same place where Winford worked. I'm going to let Irma tell us about herself, where she works, and she's going to teach us some things about cooking today. Irma?
Hi, everyone. My name is Irma Pica. I have 15 years of experience as a rehabilitation teacher, but recently just took a new position as a case worker for older individuals with blindness program. So I've worked with seniors in the past as well with Glenn doing Silver Bells here in Texas. It's a program where we give training to seniors who are blind. And I've also provided training to people who are blind that can receive services, so don't have the means or the resources in the border here in Texas. My first language is Spanish. Other than Braille, I've taught kitchen management, budgeting and organization. And so basically all the skills that someone needs to be independent at home. The amount of cooking or the amount of things you do in the kitchen does not determine how successful you are as a blind person, but what counts is how independent you are and how safe you are when you do things. I am completely blind due to retinitis pigmentosa. I've been blind for 20 years, so I hope that I get to cover some techniques that you guys can use. When I work with students, I always say, you know, I'm here to show you ways on how to be independent. And according, of course, to your skill level, what's comfortable for you, but also your lifestyle. And what I mean with that is that if you are 70 years old and you lost your vision and you always enjoy baking, you're still going to enjoy baking. You just have to find another way of doing things, an alternative way of measuring and being safe, right? If you are, you know, 65 and you're like, you know what? I've never enjoyed the kitchen, you know, you're not going to be like now enjoying it as a blind person. And what I mean is that you're still the same individual that you were before. So I'm going to be covering some techniques. I love to do this kind of training in person. I love the questions at the end. So let me know at the end if you have any questions. Organizing the kitchen, it just helps you with safety. We cover kitchen management because with the kitchen, we cover techniques such as multitasking, time management, the importance of also meal prepping, because with meal prepping, it just helps you with budgeting, and it helps you with health, to help you with a budget and grocery shopping. It helps you to maintain health. I'm going to demo measuring skill. I have a cutting board that I'm using as a point of reference. So I have a big island in my kitchen. If you cook like me and have all kinds of things out and, you know, you want to be able to have a way of organizing your space and having a point of reference. So by me having this cutting board, I have a container where I'm going to be pouring the oatmeal. We're going to do overnight oats. I prepared some overnight oats yesterday. I'm going to be prepping the ones for tomorrow right now. I have a bowl where I'm going to be using it as my catching bowl when I pour. I have oatmeal, and you can get so creative with this recipe of overnight oats. You can never get bored. When you buy the oats in a package, sometimes even though they say it's sugar-free, it's way too sweet, right? So the overnight oats that I prepared yesterday, I have them right here. I'm mixing the oatmeal that I prepared yesterday, and this oatmeal I'm going to prepare it today, and I'm going to be adding raisins and I'm going to be adding almonds to it. So, and I did it with coconut milk. Today I am going to use the right amount of a serving size for oatmeal is half a cup, and I have a half a cup here. I'm grabbing the oatmeal and I am grabbing the measuring cup not from the handle, but I'm grabbing the measuring cup from the edge with my thumb and my index finger. I have more control than grabbing the measuring cup from the handle. I'm pouring, then I'm using a bowl, and I'm using a bowl as a catcher. So if I'm spilling, I'm not going to be spilling on the counter. I'm spilling into the bowl. So I have the milk with my right hand, and I have some, you know, clients that the milk, you can get the milk in a smaller container, so you have, you know, more control and grasp of the bottle. And I have with my thumb and my index finger, I am holding the one cup, not from the handle, but from the rim of the cup. I'm pouring. And when I'm pouring, I'm going to be able to feel with my index and my thumb. I'm able to feel when it's full. So I have, I'm over the bowl, just a regular glass bowl. To my right, your left, I have the oatmeal container that I'm going to be storing it on. So I'm pouring, and I know it's covered because I use a half a cup of oats to one cup of almond milk. I am going to cover it. I'm going to leave it in the fridge, and it could be, you know, a snack for later or oatmeal for tomorrow. This is a great snack or breakfast item. You know, when I go see clients and, you know, there's medication that someone has to take, especially early in the morning or late in the evening. And this is a quick activity that we can do. And most of people, you know, have oatmeal and or milk or milk substitution. Tell us to not use milk and use coconut milk or almond milk or, you know, soy milk. But I think that you can get creative with a cold cereal and have toppings like peach or cranberries, bananas, and nuts.
This is Shelley. When you make your oatmeal, put it in the bowl, do you stir it up and then you leave it in the refrigerator?
You know, right now I wanted to demo the measuring and being letting people know that they have more control when they're grabbing the cup from the rim. But when I have a container, sometimes I don't measure because the proper, you know, size of oatmeal is half a cup, but I like oatmeal. So if I have a little more, I don't mind. So if you're not watching, you know, what you're eating, it's okay. But sometimes I just use a spoon, use a kitchen utensil as your kitchen cane. With the back part of the spoon, you can also feel if it's submerged. Running and I don't have the time, I just want to make sure I'm covering it. So I can just stick it in the refrigerator. And if you want it warm, I mean, 20 seconds in the microwave the next day. But thinking about those things, you know, that are practical, they're quick, they're easy, you know, they're ready. In regards to budget, I mean, you know, a big thing of oats, the old-fashioned oats. And you can never get bored because you can go to the bulk. I love to go to the bulk. And when I get my shopping assistant, right, or my technology, that reads, you know, what's on the, you know, I'm able to see, well, what kind of dry fruit they have and what kind of sweet, you know, nuts and you can never get bored.
How many of you have a Foreman grill? This is not a Foreman grill, but it's kind of the same concept. So it's a grill and they come different sizes, different brands, but it's a grill that when you open, it gets hot in both sides. You don't have to be flipping the meat or, you know, a sandwich. If you want a sandwich, a panini, and you want it warm, you don't want to be using your stove because you don't want, I don't know, your apartment or your house to get, you know, really hot. You want to be using a grill. It's a great way. Many years ago, everybody was like, well, a Foreman grill because you don't cook with oil. And people are watching their weight or their food intake. You know, I have a Foreman grill. And yesterday, I marinated a couple of chicken breasts with pineapple juice, fresh pineapple juice. I sometimes, you know, buy the pineapple slice. I always tell my clients, there's so many things in the produce already cut, already prepped. This is not a blind thing. This is a convenience thing. Nowadays, you can get a lot of things already sliced. And even though I know how to peel and cut a pineapple because of time, I got the pineapple chunks. I use the juice and I put juice. And of course, I'm from Texas. I have to put a jalapeno. I have the bag. It's a Ziploc bag. and I have the Ziploc bag inside a bowl. So when you're seasoning items, a good way to do it, so you prevent messes, you put the bag inside the bowl. You can have the bag open, but the bowl is holding the bag. So you can be pouring everything you want, you know, on into the bag. You seal it, you close it, and you put it in the fridge for the next day or for later on. So I'm going to heat up the grill. Doesn't take too long. When some of my clients are a little more hesitant to put the meat when it's hot, I always tell them, well, you can put it when it's cold, right? And then close it and then turn it on. I love to use a wooden spoon. I don't know how many of you have a wooden spoon. The wooden spoon, I use it as my kitchen cane. My kitchen cane. So I'm going to go around the perimeter of the grill. This is mine, so I know how big it is. But if I had someone come and they've never worked with it, I would say, well, go around, feel how big it is, find the front, because that's where the handle is. The part is not going to get hot. But that's how a good way to locate without using your hands. You know, you might have neuropathy. You need to make sure that you keep taking care of your hands. I have clients that tell me, no, I use my hands. I say, no. Get used to using a cane. I make sure that when you open the grill with one hand, you're always holding the top part of the grill. Not just say, oh, it's open. Because that way, by having your hands on the top part of the grill, it gives you an idea of where the top is, and you have kind of like that spatial awareness of not, you know, going forward and having, touching the top part of the grill. I am using my hands. I'm getting the bowl close to it, so I'm not dripping or anything. I have it as close as possible, the bowl to the grill, and I'm placing one. And I know, because it's my grill, and I always tell them, you know, it's very different when you're working, when they come and they're using other appliances or not their appliances. Very different. So I'm closing the grill and I'm going to be taking this bowl with this bag to the back part of my sink, washing my hands because I touched raw chicken. They have very small grills. They have grills that the plates, they get removed for easy cleanup. There's grills that are like individual for just one burger patty, or one sandwich, or one item. But this is a great, I think, kitchen gadget that you could have. And they come in different sizes and prices, right? And since I put the chicken before it was really, really hot, I'm going to start the timer when I hear the sizzling. And I started, so I'm gonna use my smart speaker. Alexa, set timer for 8 minutes.
8 minutes, starting now.
I have preheated my oven to 400 degrees, right? And guys, my oven has four markings, right? Some little bump dots, some locating dots, and maybe an S, a braille S for start, and a C for cancel. That's it. When you are labeling your appliances, you are in control of how you want it labeled, even though you get some assistance, right? You need to say, well, you know, people sometimes try to help us and they try to label every little single thing in an appliance. And when it's that busy, it ends up being harder. Make sure that you know what makes sense to you. It doesn't have to make sense to anyone else at your place. When I'm labeling an appliance with a client, you know, first, of course, we clean the panel a little bit with alcohol because it's just easier for the braille sticker or the single little dot to stick better. We wipe with alcohol, we dry just to make sure they last. And we put a little locating dot or bump dot. You guys can find those in the independence market of the NFB. Or you can make your own locating dots by just doing a letter A or letter G with a slate and stylus and labeling tape. If you guys are familiar with that, if you do it yourself, dots, you could get a lot of locating. You just need something that helps you locate the function of the appliance. I have a baking sheet and I preheated the oven because I have a cod fillet
fish in a baking sheet, and I'm moving my chair. While the chicken is cooking, I make inside a foil. I'm going to do a foil pack. I don't know if you guys have done foil packs in the past, but I'm going to do a foil pack with fish and asparagus. I have some fish right here. It's a pot. Fold the corners to make like a little foil, a boat made out of foil. I am going to season the fish. I'm going to talk to you about telling between seasonings. This is my system, might not be your system. A system is a system with when you're consistent with it, right? So using rubber bands or using bomb dots or Velcro or tape, whatever makes sense, right? For me, it's just as simple as telling between the lemon pepper and my garlic salt. The lemon pepper, the little paper here in the lemon pepper, I have it kind of like pulled so I can feel the bottle is lemon pepper, because you don't want to be opening seasonings and putting it to your nose all the time. So I'm putting the seasoning in my hands to control how much seasoning I'm putting. And I can even hear the seasoning when it hits the foil. And we always have a junk drawer in the kitchen. Gathering your junk drawer with things that are going to be helpful for you to label or mark something. I put a lot of garlic salt in my hands. So now I'm going to pinch a little bit of garlic salt to put in my fish, because it came out faster than the lemon pepper. So that's why it's good to use your hands. Also, not seasoning, right? And having your face really close to the food. You want to use those alternative techniques. So I put a little bit of garlic salt, lemon pepper in the pot. I'm using a spoon just because I like to buy the butter in a little container instead of the stick of butter. And I'm putting a little bit of butter on top of the fish. Chicken is starting to smell really good, the pineapple chicken. I washed the asparagus already. Okay, I'm going to move the fish and I'm going to put it on a baking sheet, because even though I'm baking the fish in a foil packet and I'm going to be wrapping the fish and the asparagus inside the foil, I'm putting that fish and that foil on a baking sheet. So I have more control when I'm putting it in the oven. So I have a knife under the cutting board for safety. It's just a safety technique. When I had people working in the kitchen, there were like 4 or 5 people. I've always told them, you know, communicate with each other. I am blind. My daughter is not. My husband is not. But I feel like I still need to have those safety techniques, not only for me, but also for them. They get to learn how to. So I have the knife under the cutting board. I am cutting just the ends of the asparagus. It's easier for me to cut them by gathering them and being able to cut. And when you cut, you don't go straight down, but you do more of a rocking motion. And I always like to have a bowl close to me. It's like my trash bowl. If I have little ends of the asparagus, I'm going to put them in there. Alexa, stop. Or little papers, or if you're cracking an egg, you don't have to walk all the way to the trash to throw it away. You have like a trash bowl close to you.
I'm putting the plate in front of the grill. I'm using my non-visual tool.
I'm gonna grab a fork.
That way you know chicken is done. You're able to insert a fork in the chicken. I'm from the fish, I went to the chicken. So that's so typical of me. Grabbing my non-visual tool, my wooden spatula. I'm finding the front of the grill. I'm opening the grill. I'm with my fork and finding where the chicken is, grabbing the chicken. And if I'm able to insert the fork and lift up the chicken, easy, it's done. And I'm going to show you another way of telling what chicken is done. I have one, put it in the plate, and I close the grill. I'm opening the grill again and finding the other piece. And I'm holding the top at all times with my left hand. And with my right hand, I am finding the chicken. The chicken breast is really thin. You usually cook them for 8 to 10 minutes and depends of the thickness. And I already finished cutting the asparagus. That's why I'm using the same knife. But I am cutting the chicken.
This is Judy. Did you set a temperature on the chicken?
This Forman grill doesn't, it's, you know, some of them you can set up the temperature, but usually the ones that are not as, you know, fancy. There's only one setting.
Well, that's very handy because often we can't set the temperature.
Usually you get to kind of like know your grill. But the chicken also, if you're able to cut it really easy and also you're able to insert a fork, you can twist a fork and a piece of chicken comes out. It's like you're shredding it. It's cooked. Brian, it's really good. And also, I like to get the chicken breast, the boneless, skinless. It's thin. I'm unplugging the Foreman grill. And a good way to clean it, a really easy way to clean a Foreman grill, is by grabbing a paper towel and wetting the paper towel really, really good. Like, you want to soak the paper towel. And I'm going to come real quick, open the Foreman grill. I'm going to put the paper towel in there, and I'm closing it. It's already unplugged. And what it does is that it just helps with the cleanup. You can hear the sizzling. I have the fish right here. And someone gave me a really nice olive oil. Oil is hard to measure. I like to tell people if it's vegetable oil, you want to have more control of the pouring, right? Get yourself one of those little squeeze bottles at the dollar store or, you know, on Amazon. And you can put the oil there and put it in the fridge because you'll be able to feel, because when oil is at room temperature, it's really hard to feel oil. But since I'm using olive oil and I can't put it in the fridge because olive oil gets thick in the refrigerator, I'm opening the olive oil. So I am grabbing a paper towel, right? And I'm covering the top of the oil, the olive oil. And I'm putting olive oil in the napkin. So I'm dabbing the napkin with a little bit of olive oil. And then I'm using that just to pat the asparagus with a little bit of olive oil. So instead of pouring, I'm using the napkin to kind of like pat my veggies. Really good, you know, bell pepper, right? Bell pepper would be great. Mushrooms. I'm patting the asparagus. For safety, it's always good to keep your area kind of like clean, right? Because, you know, sometimes things happen. You're going through the adjustment process of, you know, being blind. You're like, well, it's happened because I'm blind. And in reality, it's like, well, you need to make sure that, you know, papers and things like that are not on the way. I'm putting the asparagus in the foil with the fish, and I'm covering the fish and the asparagus. And when I'm placing things in the oven, I put the baking sheet on top of the stove, okay? I am coming from the side, not from the front of the oven, from the side of the oven. I'm opening the oven, and I'm telling everyone in the house, opening the oven, and it also helps you to kind of like, you know, remember, you don't come to the other end of the island and walk to next to the fridge to grab your things or no. You have your baking sheet ready to go on the stove. I'm using an oven mitten to place the item in the oven. I'm going in from the side, bend it down just a little bit, in and closing the oven. Closing the oven. And I would tell that everyone and working with me, you know, other clients, more than 2-3 people, you want to let the people know. Every time that my daughter opens the dishwasher, she, dishwasher open, you know, because they get used to it, you know. I don't want to come real quick here in the kitchen. And how many times, I don't know, but you don't want to be tripping with a dishwasher, the door of the oven. Alexa, set timer for 15 minutes. It was kind of thick, the piece of fish. It's really easy to know when fish is done because you can even grab a fork and it would flake, you know, fish flakes. If you have a little bit of vision, I'm being told that it looks kind of like, you know, white. I use a kitchen thermometer and you guys can get a talking thermometer, but, you know, it helps for ham or turkey, you know, big turkey for Thanksgiving. But if it's just cooking a burger, don't rely so much on a cooking thermometer. You guys can do it with those non-visual alternative techniques and, you know, by texture, by smell, not so much by time. I mean, time, you know, you have to be like, no, I want to put it back. You know, I want it a little more well done. Working on those alternative ways of doing things. If you enjoy in the morning making yourself a cup of coffee and having breakfast and making yourself breakfast,
or you enjoy baking, I want you guys to know that you can still do it as a blind person. It might be that you have to think about, you know, stop and think about, let me find a different way of doing something, or calling your, you know, your blind friend, because the best blindness techniques I've gotten from other blind person. I always tell people that the best rehabilitation is just to keep on doing things, keep on living, keep on trying, and not letting your blindness stop you. And we worked on measuring. We worked on organization of workspace. I always try to work on that. Started doing Thanksgiving and being here in the U.S. is like, oh, I'm going to try this recipe. And my husband tells me, well, you never follow the recipe. And I'm like, no, because I'm making my own. I'm making my own. There's smart speakers. There's so many things out there. And you can also make your own adaptations. And based on what you have in the fridge, and when you're planning your meals, when you're planning your for the next weeks, it just helps you to have an idea what you're going to be cooking. You don't have to be cooking the same items. I've done presentations with the air fryer. I don't know how many of you have Bard Mobile or Talking Book program, but there's many books on easy recipes or healthy living lifestyle. I don't know. Some of you are, you know, like the Weight Watchers, and there's so many books out there. I just downloaded one on easy air fryer meals, you know, and how to cook different things in the air fryer. Try new things. In the line, those men that is like, no, my wife does all of the cooking. I want you guys to try to do things. You know, I think you would find it kind of like sometimes relaxing.
Judy, you have the floor.
I want to know about air fryers. To my knowledge, a lot of them are not accessible. Do you know about that?
You know, the thing is that when they're not accessible is when they have all this air fryer, and some of them have grilling and some of them have baking, and they have like seven different settings. Mine has all of those, right? And it's kind of hard to set it, but the first setting, you know, is air fryer. So I have not, since I only use it as an air fryer, I don't even have to adapt it or put any like markings. When I tried one time to use it as baking, you know, as a small oven, I called Be My Eyes for that, you know, to kind of like help me change the settings. I don't have my Foreman grill marked. Crockpot's the same thing. My crockpot still has a knob. And even for coffee makers, you know, those K-cup makers, have an idea. If you're not purchasing them from, you know, ILA, which is Independent Living Aids, or some kind of company that sell adaptive products for people with disabilities, shop around for what makes sense to you. Be My Eyes is one of the things that I use a lot.
Great. Thank you. Now Bernie has his hand raised.
I really love the wood spoon thing. My mother was Italian, and she had a wood spoon all the time. My wife and I are on a special food plan. It's a 12-step food plan for people that have, like, you know, food addiction. So basically called Overeaters Anonymous, okay? We're supposed to weigh and measure all of our food. Since I'm blind, you know, I use these talking scales, and I've ordered them from both Maxi Aids and Independent Living Aids. And they're really cheap scales, and they just don't last. And each time I buy a scale, it's $50. And I'm telling you, it probably lasts for 6 or 7 weeks, and then it breaks. Do you have any recommendations on a good talking scale?
I don't in a particular one. Have an idea. Start using kind of like measuring options, you know, using that as a point of reference. And I know if you have to be really, really precise, you need the talking scale, the foot scale. Once it's talking and working and everything, have a measuring cup and say, I can only have of ground beef this amount in a measuring cup. So next time you don't have to, you know, weigh it, you know, maybe in the Independence Market or at ILA, those plates that are kind of like, you can feel the sections in the plate, feel the little lines, and it's to tell you the amount or the proper amount of protein and starch and, you know, vegetables. I've seen them in diabetes education, portion control plate, calling those companies and talking to someone if the people that are selling, you can say, you know, this is what I'm looking for. You know, I can see the picture on the page saying, this is what I want. You know, what do you have? What are the options? Plastic plates are great.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Now Vincent has his hand raised. Vincent?
I use an island to work on. When I am working on, I'd rather work by myself because I know where everything is, as opposed to having somebody trying to help me. The only two people that are very helpful and really work with me well are, I have a 21 and a 16-year-old grandsons, mm-hmm. and they are absolutely fantastic. We work very well whenever we have a gathering and I'm preparing, you know, different dishes, different things. I have everything, you know, taken out, but everything is organized. I know what is to my left, what is in front of me, you know, up, low, high, whatever, and everything before it is moved, before it is put anywhere. My grandsons, you know, tell me, you know, we talk about it. Even the kitchen sink, I always make sure that I keep as many areas as clean as possible when I do that. Actually, I have to learn how to use the oven, and I will do that soon because we eat chicken and fish, and I try not to use at all anything that is coated, nothing that has a Teflon or any other kind of covering for health reasons.
For health, yes.
Yeah, and because it changes also the flavor of the food. One safety tip is that I keep my knives always sharp, very, very sharp. I never cut myself. I use the proper knife for the different items that I'm cooking, and it works well.
If it doesn't cut right, it's not the knife for it. You mentioned a very important point, is that you communicate really well with your grandkids. Communication, when you're working in a group, right? Or there's a family gathering. Communication is important. I work really great alone. I am grabbing my oven mitt. I'm all coming from the side. It smells really good. I really like the fish, but I'm coming from the side and I am opening the oven. And when I open the oven all the way, not halfway, because then it closes. You can get burned or jump, and it happened to me before. So all the way down. And from the side with my right hand, I'm cutting the baking sheet. I'm gathering the baking sheet and I'm placing it on top of the dough. And I'm not going to open the foil pack, but with the wooden spoon that we were talking about, I can go around and find, because I can hear the foil. I know where it is. So then I can come with my other hands and slowly either open it or, you know, with a fork, kind of like help myself and open. But the wooden spoon, my kitchen thing, I'm not going to get burned because I'm using the wooden spoon. But thank you for sharing communication. You know, it drives me crazy, you know, not knowing, you know, like I want to know everybody when they open that dishwasher and or the oven. You're making them aware, right, of the situation.
Ms. Ruth, with a question, if I may. Thank you. Irma, that was a great presentation. And I must say, that is my dream kitchen you're standing in. I have enough vision to see you have white cabinets, a marble slab, islands. It's beautiful. Do you generally chop your own vegetables or do you take the shortcuts? I do, buy them chopped.
I cut most of them, but man, I love go to I don't know if you guys have a Trader Joe's close to you.
Yes.
Pineapple, I'm like, I'm just going to buy it slot. Some of the things could be a little more dry. Tell somebody to read the date. When I'm going to be using things that I'm going to be cooking it anyways, I'm going to get it cut. Right. But if I'm not going to be, you know, cooking right away with it, or I'm not going to use it to cook it down, basically, I want it fresh. If I'm making a salad and presentation, you know, I don't want the stuff sliced. These are things that are there available for convenience. Sometimes it's a little more expensive. So think about that if you're going to be buying things that are sliced and cut, say, okay, I'm going to use this, but not just use this for this recipe or this meal. I'm going to use whatever fruit or whatever veggie that I buy to make this, you know, something else. And sometimes when you meal prep and you say, you know what, I'm going to cook a ground turkey and I'm going to have it in the fridge, you know, because one day I can make ground beef tacos, you know, ground turkey tacos. You know, the next day I make some salad, but I want some meat on top. A newsletter that I started with my students when I was working at the same rehab center where Winfred works, and I called it Wellness Wednesday. So what I was doing was sharing healthy recipes and book recommendations and exercises because everybody was staying home. So instead of like starting to eat a little bit bad, you know, we're trying to stay active
and still watch what we were eating. If I would send a recipe on a watermelon feta mint salad, I would say, okay, with the rest of the watermelon, let's make some watermelon coconut popsicles. Yes, with coconut cream and watermelon and putting it in molds. I send them the link for the Amazon molds and baking popsicles, and it was summer. I would say, well, not just get the watermelon, right? It was, let's do all of this with the watermelon. You know, get creative. Need to start taking care of, you know, my health. It's good that you have good variety of, you know, food options, knowing what's available, what's out there. You can do so many things without even using the oven.
Our time for this particular session is kind of wound up, but Irma, you will be back. I've loved your presentation, and just thank you so much for being part of this today. We will be inviting you back, I'm sure.
Muchísimas gracias. Gracias. Thank you. And I get a little bit nervous at the beginning because I feel like I'm by myself, but I'm glad that you guys, that I had a group. Thank you.
Any ideas that you have to share as time goes on, feel free to send them to me and I can forward them on to our senior bunch.
Thank you.